Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And make sure you hit that subscribe button because YouTube might be unsubscribing people. Again,
yes,
yeah, they do that
anyway, sometimes.
Yeah, we're also available wherever fine audio podcasts are available, including iTunes, where again, hit that subscribe download button. It helps boost the show's profile there in the sports and rec category.
Yes,
and we're also available places like Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and pretty much any podcast app.
Yes, but not Spotify.
No. The road to Spotify.
Dead end.
It was a dead end, absolutely. So, you know, we set out to have goals in life, and sometimes you can't achieve certain goals. We're also at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you guys can support the show, and in exchange, you get stuff like things and access to live streams and
yes.
other things.
Yes, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw. There's a huge sale.
Right now.
Right now at Pro Wrestling Tees. Site-wide, 15% off using the promo code MANIA.
Because of WrestleMania.
Yes, the sale goes last till Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, absolutely. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw.
We have 5 fantastic designs right now at our store. Maybe 6. The 6th one will hopefully show up in time.
In Your Hoss has been submitted.
As of us filming this on Wednesday, yes.
As it has been submitted. So hopefully in the next couple days. Usually, I think they say like 7 to 10 days, but usually they've been getting up. Like when I've been submitting them, it's been like 48 hours up. So hopefully by the time this goes up, it'll be available.
Hopefully. So as I said, we're shooting this on Wednesday because Thursday, tomorrow, when we usually shoot Dirt Sheet, we're going to be traveling to Orlando for WrestleMania.
We're going to be on a plane and then in a car and then
we'll
in a
be on
place.
A plane and we're going to be on an airport, on a plane, in an airport, on a plane, in a car, and then our final destination.
I'm hyped.
Me too. I'm very excited. It should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here to talk about how much fun we're going to have at WrestleMania, Steve.
Sure we are.
No, we're not. That was for our predictions episode, which you already did.
Oh, yeah.
And you can watch now. It's on our channel as we speak. Right now. We're here to talk about the news.
News.
And there is some interesting news that popped up throughout the first half of this
and
week.
And also keep in mind, we're shooting this before the Wrestling Observer newsletter drops, which is where everybody gets their news from. So if there's some big news in there, that's why it's
we
not
might
on
have
the
to shoot a video on Friday. We'll see.
Yeah.
Potentially the most interesting bit of news that that came about this week was news about a John Cena heel turn. Now, we have gotten bits and pieces of information about a possible John Cena heel turn that was planned at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But now with this new interview with former WWE writer Kevin Eck on the PW Torch livecast, it seems like everything's kind of falling into place where you start to form some sort of narrative about how and when, what was going on behind a potential John Cena heel turn at some point in 2012. Let's start with the latest bit of news. As I said, Kevin Eck appeared on PW Torch livecast, and he suggested there were plans in place to turn John Cena heel in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, both Cena and Vince agreed to said heel turn, only for Vince to pretty suddenly change his mind. And I believe during this interview, it was suggested that a merchandising deal with Kmart might have potentially put a stop.
Very lucrative merchandising deal.
To the heel turn. And Eck mentioned that Sheamus was in line to replace Cena as WWE's top babyface. Now, Kevin Eck appeared on the same show, PW Torch Livecast, last year and seemed to talk about something kind of something on the similar vein, a similar subject.
Yeah, he was advocating for CM Punk to be top babyface.
Yeah, he was talking about a discussion that was happening backstage about a successor to Cena, and he was advocating for CM Punk, saying as he quote from his appearance on a PW Torch livecast, and I, Kevin Eck, spoke up and I said the coolest guy we have in our roster is CM Punk, and maybe he could be that being the successor of John Cena.
Interestingly enough, Triple H was in that meeting, and he weighed in immediately and said, Punk can't be the guy that goes out, and it's just not in him.
Meaning, doing all the extracurricular
Good Morning
stuff.
America, yes. The Daily Show, what have you, stuff like that.
Yes. And
I
according
to The Daily Show because Seth Rollins was on it.
Yeah, and according to Eck, they all eventually came to some sort of consensus that the new next top guy would be Sheamus.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit before.
Yeah, I think we spoke about this bit of news, the older news mm-hmm. from last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then John Cena was on Chris Jericho's podcast, Talk mm-hmm. is Jericho. And, yeah. and when the topic of heel turn got brought up, do you know when this appearance took place?
No, I do.
Okay,
not.
We'll check. And this is what he had to say about it. He said it was discussed briefly with the program with The Rock. So if you match up 2012, program with The Rock, that's WrestleMania 28.
Right.
Said Cena. Quote again, I got new theme music, new gear made. It's not like I'm not ready for it. I'm just trying to do my job the best I can. If it happened, I thought it would be great. It would be great for me to be able to do that. But it is so rewarding for me to go out there and be inspirational. If they say it's time, I just hope that they have someone ready to replace my role in the show. And it was truly what's
April,
the best for everybody.
April of 2015.
Okay, so a year before,
yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I guess you can start to kind of put a timeline together, mm-hmm. leading up to Cena's feud with The Rock, heading into WrestleMania 28. That was in 2012. Seems like either before Mania or after, there was plans to turn Cena heel. Mm-hmm. At WrestleMania 28, Sheamus beat Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight title,
mm-hmm.
and a match that lasted 18 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seemed like maybe that was the year also that Sheamus won the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like maybe this story of John Cena turning heel at some point in 2012, like all the little pieces are starting to fit together. And
yeah.
We get a larger view of what might have been happening backstage.
Yeah.
So and Cena says here it was discussed briefly, but they got as far as creating new theme music and new ring gear.
I wonder if John Cena had a demo track laying around that he did on his own.
A B-side from his album.
Said, well, the quote is...
it was discussed briefly with
the I program. Got new theme music, got new gear made. So I wonder if...
If he took the initiative and got and made music on
like
his own.
Like, they talked about it. He went home and said, I'm inspired. Let me get on GarageBand. And he started dropping beats.
Yeah.
And then he came up with
some new lyrics.
Yeah, some new lyrics. Exactly. So, yeah, it does seem like you're matching up the shit with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan and all that kind of stuff does sort of match up with this. Kind of interesting. I kind of like they didn't pull a trigger on it. I mean, Cena is Cena. I don't know. I guess it would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, if he went full on heel.
Mm-hmm.
It still would be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he gets a huge reaction from the crowd, and you could kind of compare it to Roman Reigns in that there's, you know, a good portion of the audience that boos him, yet still some cheer.
Yeah.
But I think the motivation, by and large, behind the boos is completely different.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Do you think that it's too late for John Cena to be heel?
No.
Well, I kind of do. Because he's got one foot in, one foot out. And I do believe that he's always...
It could be the Hollywood Rock thing.
Yeah, I know. But at a certain point, people are just going to cheer him because he's back. You know what I mean? He's gone for 3 months. He comes back. People are going to start cheering. It's going to be really difficult for him to just be like heel guy.
I think he could be out for a year and a half, and he'd come back and get the same reaction he does now.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't think anybody's going to be booing him at
that point.
Oh, yeah. Are you serious? No way.
It's so...
Absence makes the heart grow fonder,
to an extent,
man.
But the reaction he gets is so ingrained, I think, in the WWE universe. Part of going to a show is the fun of singing John Cena sucks.
I don't know, man. I don't
it
know.
It is.
I think for you it is. For me it is. I think that... But I think that's a different reaction than the boos that he gets.
I don't know.
I think the boos that he gets is straight up because people are tired of him being shoved down our throats. But these days... There's like less boo. It's easier for him to turn the people for him because he's not around that much. He's not around that often. You already see the people kind of wanting to cheer him in the first place. When he was burying the Nexus, when he was thick, straight up John Cena, he was getting booed.
Yeah.
Because people were tired of John Cena always burying people.
Yeah.
When that goes away for months at a time and then he comes back, people know that he's not going to be hogging the spotlight with
that world
title. Well, I think
he'll come back and the knee-jerk reaction will be, oh, this is what I'm used to doing when Cena's on in the ring. I'm going to boo. And then, yeah, he might win him over eventually.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think we just have a difference of opinion there because I think that the more he's gone, the more difficult it would be for
him. But I think also since we're so far removed from him bearing the Nexus and bearing younger talents, and yeah, he's on TV a lot, and yeah, he still wins matches that he maybe shouldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of grander story or pushing or in advancing other people's storylines.
Mm.
But I really feel like that a lot of people just go to the show to boo Cena just to boo Cena. It's not because I'm sick of him now. It's just the reaction he gets. It, not to say that some people probably are legitimately sick of Cena being on their TV all the time and him winning matches all the time.
I think there's a portion
of people are like us.
There's a part of it now where it's Pavlovian. I agree. Yes. Where he comes out and you automatically start booing the theme song. I just think that if he was gone for 18 months, I think that effect would have worn off. Like you get 18 months with John Cena bottling that up for a year and a half. I don't think so.
You'll hear thousands of people singing John Cena sucks at the top of their lungs.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, if they start singing John Cena sucks, it's going to be reverentially like the way they do with Kurt Angle. When he was a face and they were chanting "You suck," they were singing "You suck."
Well, so I'm saying that's the capacity of how we do it. It's the same thing as singing Kurt Angle's.
Yeah, but when they were booing him, it was
no. I know that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about now. I think there's a good portion of the audience that does it similarly to the Kurt Angle.
Yeah,
not necessarily, you know, in a reverential manner.
Yeah.
But just like, okay, this is part of the show. I'm gonna go and take part in this because it's fun.
But also the second part of me asking, do you think he could go full heel now? Is the idea that Triple H suggested about Roman Reigns.
Yes.
In that we're just getting these characters and you guys can figure out for yourself whether or not it's heel or face. That seems to be the direction they went with Cena because people will boo him. People will cheer him. He'll just get the reaction that he's going to get and he's going to continue to be John Cena. He does heelish things. Like, we are always on the lookout for John Cena doing heelish things here and there.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. I wonder if the WWE... For characters like that, it just seems to be like with Cena and now Roman Reigns, it seems to be like their past being like, we know these guys sell merchandise. So why are we going to fuck with that when we can take the tact of, well, 70% of the people are booing him. He's already a heel. What more do you want us to do? And on top of that, I don't know if the Roman Reigns, if what he did during his promo the other night was creative direction or his own initiative, but he was coming off as arrogant heelish.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they're going to continue to play that sort of, I don't know if that's creative indecision or if that's simply let him go out there and I mean, we'll give him direction, but we're not going to, it's funny. People think that he's being forced on us. And to a degree, he totally is because he's winning all these matches.
He's main eventing or closes out.
And how many Raw. Exactly. Yeah. And it's infuriating.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. It would be fascinating to understand if this is a creative tug of war backstage or if any of it or all of it is predetermined, and that was seemed to be the question back in 2012 with Cena.
Here it could, going back to Reigns, specifically with related to his feud with The Undertaker. I remember back last summer when Bayley and Asuka were fighting for the NXT Women's title, and for that, the lead up to that match, Asuka started being a little more heelish.
As soon as
that match was over, they shook hands. Asuka was back to being Asuka. They could just be kind of amplifying Reigns' arrogance for this feud, knowing that there's no way they're going to get him over as a face for this feud.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, he'll go right back to being
Roman, circa
3 weeks ago.
I'm not looking forward to that match, but I am really looking forward
to what they do with Reigns afterwards.
Well,
it could be interesting.
I'm talking about immediately afterwards during the celebration.
Yeah.
Because the boos are going to be raining down. Kind of interested to know how he's going to react to them.
I know.
Because you know they're prepping him for that, and there's going to be direction for him.
You would think so.
As to what to do.
Yeah.
There has to be.
I mean, he seemed to relish the boos on Raw. He seemed to not be bothered by them at all.
I wonder if even at this point with John Cena, if a heel turn could in any way be authentic. I mean, would anybody buy it? I mean, it'd be a lot of fun to see what he could do with a heel character.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like, man, it's been, debuted in 2002.
I think the problem would be is everybody that boos him now would embrace him.
Yeah, I know.
That would be the problem.
I know, yeah.
And so he'd probably...
All the little kids would be crying, and all of us jerks would be like, this is awesome.
I know, and then he'd probably get
he'd be the opposite face.
He would get the opposite fan reaction.
Yeah, he'd be the ultimate face.
Like, yeah.
Crazy?
Yeah.
Also in the news.
In the news.
So apparently... They're keeping The Rock and Vin Diesel. Wasn't this a supposed to be? Where didn't they? Wasn't there speculation when this was first reported?
Oh, that's going to lead to this going to lead to a match at WrestleMania. I know.
Yeah. Okay. So, back when they were filming the fate
of the Furious,
the fate and of the Furious
of the Furious, and this happened.
Fast and Furious 8.
News of this. These problems between The Rock and Vin started popping up in August last year when TMZ reported that The Rock, he took to social media, I think Instagram or Facebook or something, and started airing grievances about some of his male, co-stars.
This wasn't during Festivus season in December?
Yeah, December 23rd.
Grievances, I got a lot of problems with you, Vin Diesel.
I know. And he referred to one of his male co-stars as a candy ass.
Said something along the lines of
if it looks like certain scenes, my blood is boiling. You're right.
Yeah.
Like it was a shoot.
Yeah.
And apparently after that social media post, The Rock and Vin Diesel met on set, tried to work things out, but apparently that hasn't worked because today, I believe, Wednesday, the Hollywood Reporter is reporting that The Rock and Vin Diesel aren't getting along still, and they're being kept apart during the press tour for The Fate of the Furious. And according to Hollywood Reporter's report, quote, that sequestering will be most obvious today when Universal brings footage of the film to CinemaCon in Vegas, where Diesel, Charlize Theron, and the rest of the cast will be on hand to promote the 8th installment of the $4 billion franchise. That is minus Johnson. No Rock. But The Rock was at CinemaCon just 12 hours earlier to promote Baywatch.
Yeah, which looks hilarious.
So, I mean, according to this report, he's going back to resume shooting Ballers in Miami.
Yeah, I'm
sure he'll be at WrestleMania.
I would imagine so, yeah. So, I don't know. Evidently, this was not to promote a match between these two.
No, this is legitimate beef.
Yeah, I'm siding with The Rock on this.
Okay.
I'm siding with The Rock. I'm on Team Rock. I'm on Team Bring It. Who are you on Team on?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Team Bring It?
Yeah.
Okay, not Team Diesel. Not Team Riddick.
I mean, I really don't care.
Yeah.
But for the sake of this discussion, sure, Team Rock.
Sure.
It kind of calls into question what will happen with if they do a 9th installment of the Fast and Furious franchise. Vin Diesel is one of the producers of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, true.
I doubt The Rock's going anywhere because he is, you know, the most well-paid movie star in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because of his appearances in the Fast and Furious movies. So at some point, it seems like either everybody has to get comfortable with a lot of tension on set all the time, or they got to work things out.
Yeah. Well, maybe they can just schedule. You know, they have plenty of money in their budget. Do you really need that many two shots of The Rock and Vin Diesel?
Not really.
Just get a couple of lookalikes?
I mean, there's been plenty of movies that have been made where people on set just did not get along.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, I've heard stories of directors communicating with actors like via their agents, stuff like that.
What if you, film, you know, the plot of the movie, that's the story.
Just don't have any scenes together.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like you can have an A plot and a B plot.
Yeah.
They can go, you know, they can go, or one A and one B. And they can go parallel to each other.
Yeah,
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Most of the cast members of Game of Thrones never meet each other.
And at the end, you know, for the final climactic action scene, those threads can converge, and maybe there's some
all CG
passing, you know, like interaction. But that's it. You can shoot it in single shots, and they don't have to interact at all.
I'm just saying. I think it's confirmed that Vin Diesel is in fact a candy ass. If The Rock calls you a candy ass, you're a candy ass. I mean, come on, he's $65 million man. Everybody loves The Rock. Everybody love Vin Diesel?
Apparently, according to the TMZ report, the cast and crew on The Fate of the Furious were a little upset that The Rock went public with this beef so soon to the conclusion of filming.
Well, you know what? They're a bunch of candy asses also, according to Team Bring It. What do you think about that? They're a bunch of candy asses?
No, confirmed. I told you. I don't
confirmed
care.
Confirmed here on Dirt
I don't
Sheet.
Care about really? The Rock and Vin Diesel's beef,
Who do
really.
You think they're behind? Who do you think Charlize Theron prefers? The Rock.
I doubt
Vin
she
Diesel.
Cares either.
Really? I think she does. I think she's Team Bring It. Who else is in that crappy franchise? Paul Walker. He wasn't the last one.
Oh, man.
What? What'd I say?
Michelle Rodriguez is in it.
Oh, I like her. She's Team Bring It for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Probably.
Probably.
I don't
Where
know.
Did you get that from?
All this drama, I know, is kind of...
All drama, everything, Larson.
It somewhat relates to wrestling, but...
All drama, everything. What's really our next story? All gone, everything.
Yeah. Apparently, Eva Marie might be done. Apparently, is done with the WWE. Wrestling Inc. issued a report Monday, which seems to indicate that Eva Marie is finished with the wrestling business.
One more Eva Marie.
According to Wrestling Inc., their sources have informed them that WWE doesn't plan on re-signing Eva Marie once her contract expires.
Oh, no.
She was suspended August of last year,
yeah.
And we haven't seen her since.
No, we have not.
She's been in some movies. Apparently, according to this report, she has started a fashion line, and based on her social media accounts, that has been her sole focus.
She has dyed her hair black. The only thing is, in her social media accounts, it does say that she is a WWE superstar. However, that's the only mention of anything WWE related.
That was
related.
Just on one of them, though. I think it was just on the Instagram, account.
Okay.
Account,
something
yeah.
tells me her Instagram is the big... so she dyed her hair black. She talks a lot about her movies, which I have no idea what movies these are that she's in.
Nor do I. About the clothes she's making.
So, I mean, this is kind of a bummer because we got a small glimpse into some sort of angle they were doing.
Oh, and it was
her.
Great.
And it was fantastic. It had that voiceover guy, all red, everything. And then she would like try to finagle her way out of matches.
And she was successful up until she got suspended.
And they only did it like two or three times.
And then she got suspended.
But still, it was like, okay, this is kind of cool. I wonder what they're going to do when she gets back. And then she just never came back.
And she's never coming back, apparently.
Yeah, she's never coming back. I wonder, like, I do think... This was worth the WWE's investment. I mean, she was on all the Total Divas.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess those...
But are you going to watch that show to see Eva Marie?
No.
She's not a draw. She got a lot of... I mean, she got a lot of heat in NXT from the crowd there.
Yeah.
I mean, and to her credit, it seemed like she put in effort to improve her wrestling abilities. And based on Total Divas, she seemed to be invested in her character... the one that appeared on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe she brought some ideas to the table for that character mm-hmm. as well. But it seemed like early on when they brought her on, seemingly primarily to be in Total Divas, it was just a mismatch.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to work out.
Yeah. Well, when did she, what was it, 2013?
Something like that. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so that was sort of pre-Women's Revolution. So yeah. She's kind of, I mean, already a relic of the past anyways, because it's not exactly what they want. I mean, especially if your heart's not in all the way.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're using WWE as a springboard to sort of do other things, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 4 years at a job is totally fine. Like they did what they wanted her to do. Cause didn't they pull her from training to do Total Divas?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, whose fault is that?
I know.
And so, I don't know how much she was making. It was probably pretty change though.
Yeah.
So, good luck to Eva Marie.
Yes.
Something tells me we'll see her again in some like cameo fashion. I don't know. I was kind of hoping she'd show up for the
SmackDown Women's title match. I know that'd been funny.
Yeah. But yeah. Finally, in our news section, Paige and Alberto Del Rio, they're getting married.
Apparently that's supposed to happen today, Wednesday. As of us shooting this, it hasn't happened yet that we're aware of.
Mm-hmm. I don't really care, but there because okay, they get me. Who cares? But I mean, kind of. This was sort of. I don't know if this was discovered or not, but there was an Instagram post from Alberto Del Rio where he talks about. So there was two things. There was Paige had sort of a response of sorts.
Yeah, she posted a lengthy message on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The link will be in the description if you want to see it. I included it here on our notes if you want to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Where she talked about how she felt. About the leak happening.
Which was really bad.
Yeah.
She said, she says, it was my mistake and I'll always take responsibility. But the one thing that was the hardest was thinking, quote, my husband is going to leave me. My family will disown me, but I'm blessed beyond words to have a family and a husband that stuck by me because they knew who I am. They know I'm not a bad person. They held my hands through hell.
And she said also later on, I had days where I wanted to physically harm myself, not only for what millions were telling me, but because my family and my husband were suffering the same fate from the internet because of my mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it seems like she was getting a lot of cyberbullying, essentially.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it was pretty easy to see that. And then Alberto Del Rio, he took a bit more of an aggressive tact on Instagram, posting a picture of him and Paige at some sort of Disney place. Where Paige was threatening to punch Elsa from Frozen. And in the comment, in the description or the caption
on the picture, yes.
Alberto says, it doesn't matter and a lot of this is kind of in broken written English, so I'm going to not clown him for that. But he says, it doesn't matter how many times you try to break us, it's not going to happen. We were harassed by a company. We still are, because you don't fool me, motherfuckers. I know you were trying to destroy us. Destroy my baby. She's better, stronger than all of you pieces of shit. We are getting married Wednesday. Have a nice day and go F yourselves, haters. I mean, it's not really subtle right there, saying that we were harassed by a company and we still are. Do you think he's talking about the WWE, or do you think he's just talking about, like, we're harassed on the internet?
Well, I mean, I would think if he's speaking about being harassed on the internet, he would have said being harassed on the internet.
I know, me too. So I'm wondering if there is some sort of underlying, like, I wonder if the WWE had something to do with this leak, which I would be really, really, you know.
Yeah, I would
really doubt that.
No, didn't happen.
I know.
If the WWE,
but he's kind of saying that.
I don't think it necessarily has to reference the leak per se. I think it does reference. You know, obviously, he's referencing the reports that they tried to break him up before he left and before she got suspended, all that stuff when she was recuperating from neck injury. It could be referenced to the reports that they didn't want to pay for a neck injury. It could be maybe they're getting in the way of her ability to rehab.
No, I get that.
There's
I
a
know.
Lot of other things that I would think could constitute harassment in his mind that doesn't involve the leak at all.
I know, but the timing of this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, this is absolutely pure speculation. But the timing of this, him saying this, you know, we just went through this thing. And this thing was very specifically Paige's leak.
Yeah.
And he says, we were harassed by a company. We still are, because you don't fool me, motherfuckers. I know you was trying to destroy us, destroy my baby.
You know, WWE could have contacted Paige regarding the leak and just try to get information about it. Maybe, you know, they weren't delicate about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no
idea. I have no idea.
But yeah.
WWE didn't leak anything.
Again.
Didn't happen.
It would be interesting. Yeah, they're not going to leak a picture of the NXT title with Brad Maddox all over it.
No.
This just further is just more. It's going to be interesting when Paige does come back to WWE, assuming that happens.
Yes.
Anyways, we got some questions we're going to answer.
We do.
Then we're going to hop on a plane and go to WrestleMania.
Well,
right?
That's tomorrow.
Immediately following these questions.
All right, sure. We'll just show up at the airport and see if we can get on the plane.
Sounds good.
Okay, first from Mean Mark Callis Memorial Champion James Stevens. Hey, friendos, first-time patron here. How would you book the SmackDown main event scene for the summer? He sees Bray retaining, but is more powerful than ever. AJ beats and gains the respect of Shane and is trusted in defeating Bray for the title. He accomplishes this at SummerSlam only for the 2017 Money in the Bank winner, Baron Corbin to cash in immediately and win the title because Baron Corbin. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for your support.
Yes, thank you
very much. James Stevens, appreciate that. If they said book from now till SummerSlam, I would say Bray retains the WWE title. But even if he doesn't, I want Bray and Orton to continue on until
SummerSlam. This feud's going to continue after Mania. Yeah,
I think that'd be great.
I don't know if it's continue to SummerSlam, but it's going to continue for a while.
SummerSlam's only four months away. That's not a lot of time.
It isn't, but it is. That's a third of the year.
Yeah. AJ definitely beats Shane, but AJ moves over to Raw. AJ beats Shane, brutalizes him, is fired, goes to SmackDown, or is traded for some Sami Zayn.
Here's something to ponder. Barring a draft,
mm-hmm.
Say when this Bray-Orton feud ends, say Bray comes out on top, has the belt. Who does Bray fight next? Who else is in line for a title shot that's on the top of the card in SmackDown? It's just Dean.
Yeah.
Well, whoever, in terms of faces.
Well, that's the thing. When AJ leaves, we're gonna need like
kind of a reshuffling of the deck.
That's a swap that's gonna need a face to come over to SmackDown.
Oh yeah,
like you need that.
Like, are they gonna ship Sami Zayn to SmackDown and put him straight in the main event?
I could see that. He's the dude. I'm telling you, he's the inverse of Bray.
No, I know.
Immediately, and Sami Zayn versus Bray. Have we ever seen that?
No,
I don't think we've seen that before.
No,
I'll see
it could
that
be interesting.
Shit. Yeah.
All right, you said Bray retains at Mania in that scenario. Your booking scenario?
Oh, I'd say no. I would. My booking scenario would be either one. I would say, let's say Orton retains. They take it.
You mean wins?
Orton wins. Yeah, he gets the belt. They take it all the way to SummerSlam. In the meantime, AJ is traded to Raw. Sami Zayn has 4 months to acclimate to the SmackDown roster. When Bray and Orton have their blow-off at SummerSlam, Sami then hops into a thing with Bray Wyatt and the WWE title because he's going to get it back at SummerSlam.
All right, I'm going to do something different.
Okay.
AJ Styles has been advertised for, I know, cars subject to change.
That does not matter. AJ Marketing Styles has no idea what Vince wants.
I don't think that's 100% true. AJ Styles has been advertised for SmackDown shows throughout the month of May.
Yeah.
So it seems like he, based on that, I'm assuming he's going to stay in SmackDown until the draft. That's my supposition as I present this dream booking scenario.
Okay.
So Orton beats Bray at Mania. Maybe the, what's the next? Money in the Bank's June.
Yes.
AJ wins Money in the Bank.
Okay.
He's the Money in the Bank briefcase holder as a SmackDown wrestler, but is then drafted to Raw in the draft in July.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's made this way more convoluted than it needs to be.
Yeah, quite a bit. I think Baron Corbin's winning Money in the Bank anyways.
As the Intercontinental title holder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I think he's winning Money in the Bank, and I think he's going to cash in on...
Oh, here's my scenario. Sorry. So AJ gets drafted to the Raw, has a match against...
Finn Balor.
Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam for the Universal title.
Oh,
wins
I like
it.
That. That's good.
Takes the Money in the Bank briefcase, cashes it in, wins the WWE title at SummerSlam.
Yeah, okay.
After the Orton Bray Wyatt match.
Okay.
So AJ has both belts.
Oh, I love it. Who doesn't want that?
I know.
Book that one. Can that be in our thumb? AJ both belts.
AJ has all the belts.
Yeah. Going in Raw pre-cum champion Giovanni Lugo. Haven't had a question read in a while. Hopefully you guys can get this one. Yeah, it's your day, Giovanni.
Done.
Here we go. Which brand do you think is building up the best matches for Mania? And which brand do you think will have the better matches at Mania? Too sweet to me. And a slightly firm handshake for Larson.
Well, I think the match with the best...
SmackDown's going to have best matches. Raw might have the best match. SmackDown will have more better matches.
Probably.
Because
the match with the best build has been Owens Jericho.
And I think that'll be the best match.
Yeah, I think it will be too.
But then you have Dean. I think Ambrose, Baron Corbin is going to
be
a fun match.
Orton
Ray is going to be
interesting.
Regardless,
hopefully,
it's going to be a good match.
Yeah. I mean, AJ Shane could be a high spot.
Otherwise,
fest.
You have Goldberg Lesnar in 5 minutes. You've got Roman Reigns Taker. Terrible.
Yeah.
You've got.
The Raw tag title match could be good. And the women's match would probably be good.
Nah, the tag title could be okay. The women's match could be good. Cena-Miz is going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun match.
Yeah, so SmackDown will have the better
matches.
SmackDown's
got a better lineup, yeah.
Raw had the better build-up for at least one match.
Mm-hmm. The Bastard Son of Ulysses. Do you guys think that the WWE is in a low point of performance and entertainment? And if so or not, why? Bastard Son of Ulysses says, I think it's on a low point because of management's mishaps like letting CM Punk go.
Well, you could say in that sense.
Look,
if that's the rationale, then you could say they're at a low point in terms of their managerial strategy.
I don't know, man.
But I don't even think that's the case.
They had Yokozuna fight both Lex Luger and Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10.
That's a terrible booking decision.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of, I don't think wrestling in WWE has ever been better now from an in-ring standpoint.
Oh, I agree completely.
The quality of the matches, match to match, has never been better.
Go back and watch old wrestling.
Watch wrestling from anywhere between 1991 and 1996.
And the crappiest match on any Raw is usually better than like the better matches.
It's so bad. Unless Shawn Michaels is in the match, odds are it's going to be pretty lousy.
I know.
Or Razor Ramon, Scott Hall.
I know.
He put on some decent matches.
Oh, he, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he had like X-Pac back. He had like 1-2-3 Kid. Yeah. They were good performers back then, but man, they were so few and far between.
I know.
There were not a lot of them.
Now, pretty much.
Sting always put on good matches.
Yeah. Most mid-card and upper mid-card guys are pretty good wrestlers.
I know, yeah. Especially now that they're bringing in guys like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and you know that they're bringing the wrestlers in from a pool of just amazing talent.
I know.
So you're gonna have,
in terms of entertainment, that's completely subjective, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just prefer kind of the Attitude Era shock factor, and there were some interesting storylines that came out of the Attitude Era, but there's also a lot of garbage.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think you're absolutely right. It's subjective, you know. If you like slow hoss battles, then yeah, go back to the early 1980s.
Yeah, I know.
Go back to WCCW. But in terms of like production value, entertainment production value, it has never been matched.
And wrestling is far less cheesy than it used to be. Mm-hmm. We were just watching the intro video to WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
It's all cheese.
I watched the one for WrestleMania 6, and it's like it opens up on like constellations, and then like a couple of the constellations form into Hogan and Warrior. And you hear Vince say, "It's the ultimate challenge."
Oh yeah,
two warriors, ultimate challenge.
Yeah, he liked to scream when the intro was WrestleMania back then. In terms of
it's the In Your House tournament,
I think by and large, the I touched on the managerial strategy in relation to his CM Punk example, and you know, set that aside. The way they're going about running the company, I think for the most part, has been sound. They have adopted streaming; that's their primary platform now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, TV is still where they make the money, but mm-hmm. they distribute far more content on their proprietary platform.
You could argue they're future-proofed because of the streaming stuff. Yeah. You know,
I mean, NXT is a viable third brand that's bringing fresh talent into the company and up to the main mm-hmm. roster.
They're looking. They're looking. All they're not just developing their own guys. They're looking for talent elsewhere.
Yeah,
they're looking for promotions elsewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I'd say that it's at a it's. I mean, yeah, you could say things like, you know, forcing Roman Reigns in our throat. You know, I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's sort of one drop in a pool that's otherwise, I don't know,
pretty good.
Slam bang. It's like, you know, you can't – I know as sort of the smart fans or whatever you want to call us, we want our cake and we want to eat it too. We want it to be – we want, you know, all the crazy awesome matches that they have in New Japan – but add that to the entertainment value of Raw. We want Kevin Owens to hold the Universal title. We want AJ to hold both titles.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that we want. But, you know, there has to be something that appeals to everybody. And we're not casual fans, and there's a lot of casual fans out there they have to appeal to.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think their strategy of trying to offer up something for everybody, I think it's kind of effective. I think it's kind of working because there is something for everything.
Yeah, and this brings us to our next question. The Indomitable WGIYV. Hey guys, first question here. Thank you very much. The good gents over at What Culture posted a video recently about how WrestleMania 33 isn't for hardcore wrestling fans, but is pushed toward the casual viewer. Mm-hmm. I, for one, think this has been the case for a number of years. A lot of people I know will watch WrestleMania in a year of, will only watch WrestleMania in a year of WWE programming. Do you agree with that statement? I also think this year's Mania is built to draw those casual fans in and then hold their attention with some excellent wrestling and storytelling. Brings up Y2J versus Owens. How do you think the next year of WWE content will fare compared to 2016, 2017? Yeah, WrestleMania is the huge spectacle mm-hmm. to bring in as many eyeballs as possible.
It's meant to be a celebration of the entertainment portion.
Sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment, exactly. And that's why we didn't get AJ Finn. That's why...
That's why Owens Jericho isn't for the Universal title.
Right. That's why Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn was, their blow off was like at what?
Payback or Battleground or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And so, I mean, last year we had Triple H versus Dean Ambrose, which was a fantastic match. We had that at
Roadblock. Network special.
Yeah, network special. So people ask, you know, after Wrestle Kingdom, well, does WWE, do they want to top Wrestle Kingdom at WrestleMania? No, that's not their goal. You know, we can have Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins in a 4.5-star match on Raw. You know, we can get that any day of the week. And then you can go back and watch it on the network a month later, or you can watch it on Hulu or DVR it or whatever. And you can go back and watch it. So I don't really think or you have Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura last year. That was a hell of a match at TakeOver.
Yeah. It seems pretty obvious their strategy is they bring in the huge name part-timers to bring in the casual viewers, mm-hmm. put them in at least one, if not two, major positions on the card.
Right.
And then at WrestleMania this year, by and large, they fill out the rest of the card with really intriguing matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Owens Jericho, you know, brought up here in this question, that's going to be a really good match with a really well-told story.
And the best-told story leading up to WrestleMania, it was Kevin Owens Jericho. And on top of that, they got a plum spot on the go-home episode of Raw. So we know that they care about that shit. They give a shit about that because they know that we give a shit about that.
Yes.
And we're the ones putting in money every single week or every single month. And so they have to walk a line, but I don't think that they're... You know, I think they are trying to offer something for the hardcore wrestling fans, you know?
I mean, if you want to look at a perfect kind of... bless you.
Thank you.
A synthesis of this. You have Shane, who at least the WWE views as...
A big draw.
A big draw, at least amongst casual viewers. And you have AJ, who was beloved by the smart marks like us.
Yeah, yeah.
And they put those two guys in one match.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think Shane's a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe he is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I bring this up on a Canout this weekend that I think at times we might underestimate the appeal of Randy Orton to fans. Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny that we do that because when you see the pop he gets when he comes out.
I know. Regardless of what he does.
Regardless of what he does. Exactly. We're getting a little bit of shit in the comments for, like, taking kayfabe too seriously. Like, when we were talking about, man, this guy burned down a guy's house. It's like, guys, I know that it's not real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he really burnt down a structure. But yeah, I know.
We're talking about,
I'm sure, like, they got the proper permits to set that structure,
like,
on
these,
fire. Yeah.
These are stories that were common, this is fiction that we're critiquing.
Yes.
It's no different than us critiquing a movie if we had a movie review show.
So, or a book if we had a
book
club podcast. We
don't actually think this shit is real.
Or a TV podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we should start a book club podcast.
I don't. Unless they're like wrestling books. I don't read them.
Okay.
I don't have time. No, honestly.
No, I don't have time to read at all.
Reading is something that I really want to do more of. We go to Barnes & Noble quite a bit.
Yeah.
I get books because they look great.
And you don't read them.
I don't read them. I have like a bookshelf full of books.
Same here.
Let's see here. Watching wrestlers' eyes as the ref counts champion, Michael Berry. New patron here.
Thank you very much.
Michael Berry. I had a question that WWE just answered for me via their Twitter. So my backup question is, if you could choose any wrestling YouTuber to join Going in Raw as the third host, who would you choose?
Does Dan count as a wrestling YouTuber?
I think when he's on our channel, he does.
Then
Let's take Dan out of the equation.
Oh, darn.
Take Dan out of the equation.
He's
too
Dan.
Busy. He's doing too many things.
But if he did our show all the time, then he would just be full-time Going in Raw. He wouldn't have all the other things.
Probably take a big pay hit.
Yeah, he probably would.
Another wrestling YouTube. The problem is there's so few and far between. I mean, there's just not a lot of. That's one thing. Like, why our channel? Here's some advice if you want to do YouTube. Okay, find a niche that isn't oversaturated.
Yeah, because so don't do gaming essentially.
Don't do gaming. Honestly, don't do geek genre.
Yeah,
like don't do that stuff. Wrestling wasn't like, you know, there's Wrestling with Regret. There's
What Culture.
Obviously, there's those guys, a couple others out there. But like, it's not a saturated market at all. So we were able to sneak in here and then people are like, oh, cool. Look at this.
Yeah. I mean, we had the advantage of being on Machinima beforehand. Too.
Yeah, sure. We had a built in thing.
We had some brand.
But I wonder also some of that. I mean, there's an argument to be made. Obviously, I would rather have had that than starting from scratch.
Yes.
But, you know, YouTube really likes new channels these days, you know? And
although we started doing wrestling full time, our channel was far from new.
No, I know. That's exactly like I'm saying that it might have been more beneficial to start from scratch.
Oh, yeah. Could have been.
But I would want to. I wouldn't have wanted. So anyways.
We took a long-winded route to not answering his question.
Oh, yeah. No, for me, it's Cannon Grant.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's not a wrestling YouTuber, but he's our
unofficial third host.
He's our unofficial third host. I know.
Pretty much.
One day we'll ship him out here to Sacramento.
Yes.
Sitting right here between us. Hey, guys. How's it going?
The advocate for the Haas Gravity Forgot, Flyboy Allen Thayer Thabata.
A great name.
I know. First-time patron here. Thank you very much. I know that Larson loves Mass Effect, so in honor of Andromeda releasing last week, my question is this. The government has tasked you two with going to the Andromeda Galaxy to create a new home for mankind.
They task me.
They've given you a new ship called the SSV Oni Larkin with its pilot, Oni Larkin.
I like that he named the pilot. How did the pilot get the ship named after him? He's the pilot.
He's that esteemed of a pilot.
I guess so.
You must choose a squad to take with you made up of three male WWE wrestlers, three female WWE wrestlers, and one non-WWE wrestler as your second in command. Who do you choose and why? So Oni Larkin is pilot.
Yeah.
So I guess we're part of the diplomatic team?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So who's our second in command? Non-WWE wrestler second in command.
Yano.
All right. I can't beat that. Can't beat Yano. Three male WWE wrestlers.
Bobby Roode.
Okay, Bobby Roode.
Shinsuke.
Shinsuke, really?
And Triple H.
Oh, I was going to say Triple H. I don't know why we both said Triple H. Three female wrestlers. Asuka.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Asuka. I'm going to say Kiki James.
Naomi.
And Naomi. That's good.
It's good. And Yano is her second in command.
Yano, Yano, why are our shields not up? Finally, from Andrew Trent. Oh, by the way, guys, I'm sorry. No video questions this week because of our truncated schedule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll get back to the normal stuff next week.
But yes, yeah. Our apologies.
Andrew Trent, is Bray super powerful or hopeless going into WrestleMania? There have been so many jump cuts and worms, I've lost track. I know.
It really does feel like it has to be one or the other.
I know. I think, okay, so the gist I got, the story I got from that SmackDown ending,
yes,
was that Randy Orton took his powers away.
Again.
And leveled the playing field.
Again, but based on his match with Luke Harper, it looked like Bray Wyatt had any powers whatsoever. Apart from like staring at Luke Harper.
Well, he
Luke
had
Harper
the power positive. Of hypnosis, so I think he still had
he's
power.
He's already had that. But Bray Wyatt said he was imbued with the powers of Satan.
No,
that should be some next level shit, Steve.
No, dude, look, I'm telling you. Like, why? Okay, so he attacked Randy Orton with his crucifix.
Well, there's no. Wait, Bray did? There was no attack.
No, I'm sorry. No. Last week. Bray, when he attacked Orton with the crucifix.
He didn't attack him. He just touched him on the shoulders with it and put it in his groin area.
If you have
area.
A bunch of men holding somebody down, that's kind of an attack.
Yeah, but you said attacked him with the crucifix. He never attacked him with the crucifix.
Yeah, it seemed violating.
Well,
if I go like this to your junk, well, you think you're not being attacked?
He just rested it against his lower abdomen.
He accosted Randy Orton.
Kidnapped him.
And then he didn't kidnap him.
More or less.
When he grabbed somebody and hold them for a period
of time.
That's
exactly what was happening during that segment.
It wasn't a period of time. It was one segment. He accosted him with an army of King Llamas.
Yes.
And touched his groinal area.
Well, shoulders, then yes.
With a crucifix.
Yes.
Which I don't even know if that's a real word because I looked it up and I didn't.
I know. I tried looking up again last night. I can't find anything.
Can't find it. Maybe they made it up. Anyways, so at that point, why didn't Bray come to the ring to fight Luke Harper with an army of King Llamas?
And superpowers,
or at least a crucifix.
He made a huge point about saying that Sister Abigail has imbued him with special powers.
Yeah.
That he is more powerful than ever, and yet he gets his ass handed to him by Luke Harper for 75% of that match. It doesn't make a lick of sense, unless the whole thing about Sister Abigail giving him powers was just bullshit.
I think it's all bullshit. What if? Here's the thing, though.
In which case, why would you accept the match before WrestleMania?
I got it. I know what happened.
What?
I know what happened. This makes total sense.
Okay. Whenever you say that, it's crap.
Foolproof logic. No, this actually does kind of make sense.
Okay.
Randy Orton showed up on the TitanTron in a very heavily edited package last night.
Yes.
Okay?
Very much so. Overly edited.
Right. So it couldn't have been live.
No.
Right. So he shot it beforehand. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, before the match.
Before the match.
Oh, I understand that.
So as he digs the crucifix into the ground, at that point in real time, Bray's powers were taken away, which explains why he got into the ring with Luke Harper.
That actually makes sense.
Took him on, had no powers, and Luke Harper took pity on his fallen former leader, and that was the stare down, and then he got suckered by the Sister Abigail.
If that were the thing, I would have hoped that Bray would have sold that a little bit.
Sold what a little bit?
Him not having powers during the match.
Oh, yeah, it was subtle. What are you not saying? He got his ass handed to him.
No,
by
but
Luke
I mean, in terms of his acting performance.
I think he was more like this?
No, I don't want like Non trying to shoot lasers out of his eyes. That's not what I'm expecting. But just like he tries to do something, it doesn't have the impact he thought, and he just takes a beat and then continues on with the match.
Well, maybe it was like earlier in the day when he filmed that, or like the night previous, and that's when he sold him discovering that he didn't have powers. He like goes to take the garbage out, and he thinks that he could just. Like, he's got a lot of stuff in there, and he, like, thinks he can just...
Well, I think he can just teleport from his kitchen to
exactly.
his garbage can
he's
outside.
Like, he's just holding his garbage bag, and he's like...
He's staying there in the kitchen for, like, 10 minutes, not teleporting. And he realizes he has to actually walk it outside.
Exactly.
It could be.
Yeah.
That's actually a decent explanation. I'm sure that's not what it is, but...
We have to make these things up, man.
I know.
They're not giving us anything to
Nothing.
Work with.
Nothing.
So we have to put the pieces together ourselves. It's like a Fincher movie, man. It's like Zodiac.
No, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it is. You tell me they don't have Telefax in Vallejo?
Shut up and give me your keys.
Shut up and give
it's not even the line.
Not even the line.
What is it? I want your I want your keys.
I want your wallet and your keys.
Yeah, I want Something your wallet like and your that. Keys.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever we think a line from the movie is really good and it catches on with us, A, it's never the line.
I know.
It's B, great. What we think it is usually better than what is in the movie.
I like when he tells Zodiac, man, that thing is not even loaded, is it? And then he goes... Shows them the bullets.
Yeah.
He goes, Anyways, that's it for Dirt Sheet.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys in Orlando.
Yeah, we haven't scheduled a meetup yet, have we? It'll be before Mania on Sunday around the Citrus Bowl, Camping World Stadium. Details to come.
Yeah, and if you see us just roaming around,
say hi.
Give me
We're going to be at NXT. We're going to be at the Progress Show Friday at noon.
Yeah.
We'll be at WCPW for a bit.
We'll be all over the place. I kind of like just randomly running into people as opposed to meetups.
But meetups are nice. You actually get a chance to talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a little bit. So,
Yeah, just keep an eye on our Twitter. Because whatever we do, we'll be on there letting people know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So anyways, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.